Friday, June 13th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we continue our study in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, with part two of yesterday's message titled, Jesus Feeds the Canaanites.
We are so slow to understand, and He's patient with us. He's patient with you. That's the revelation of Christ's mercy to you, that He's willing to give Himself for you, that if you have any awareness of your failure to meet God's standard, see and hear Him. I'm not willing to send my people away hungry. I have compassion on you. He's not talking just about physical food.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Because of contact with Gentiles. If you brush up against a Gentile, you are defiled. And that was the whole issue. Now, all of these people are the unclean coming to Jesus. Imagine this, just with me for a minute. Imagine collecting all these people in Escondido that you pass by. Escondido's filled with them. Let me try to capture the offense of this. What part of Escondido do you avoid? Well, I doubt I see many of you down there by the bus stop late at night. Jesus would challenge us. Jesus would challenge us. Because any form of self-righteousness or external righteousness, He would combat, He would confront. This would be like Christ leading here, right here, and upon facing criticism for breaking the tradition of the elders, He heads down to the bus stop in Escondido, and you hear on the news all the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the people who've wrecked their lives are all coming to Jesus. He's where? I like to notice the list here. The blind can't even see to get there, can they? The crippled can't walk to get there. The mute can't even hear Him, right? And many others. And Christ shows compassion on them. Oh no, these are the people stinking up the streets. Mind, this is like Mark 2, when he brought the paralytic, when they brought the paralytic, lowering him down on the mat, and Jesus looks at them and sees their faith and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." It's really, this passage, an extension of what we see with the Canaanite woman. Something's happening. Something's happening. You'll notice it's the same thing. They won't leave Him. The Canaanite woman was remarkable. She just wouldn't take no. She could be called a dog. She didn't get offended. She was, in Israel's terms, a dog, an unclean dog. She's called a dog. She doesn't get offended. I need the crumbs. You can call me a dog. That gives me hope. I'm not leaving you. It's the same thing. The crowds won't leave Him. These crowds will not leave Him, even when they're hungry and they miss dinner and they've missed food all day. It's beautiful. You remember the principle, right? There's a principle in the New Testament. The gospel first to the Jew and then to the Greek. When Israel rejected it, the Lord said, "Go to the Gentiles." Paul said that, remember in Acts. "But since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we will leave you and go to the Gentiles." I think they got that right here. I think they studied the mission of Christ. It's a principle taught everywhere. Just listen to the parable and you'll hear it. "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a great feast for his son, and he sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they wouldn't come. Again, he sent to other servants saying, tell those who were invited, see, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves, and everything's been slaughtered. Everything's ready. This is going to be a great feast tonight. I've made the best ribeyes. Come. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention. And they went off, one to his farm, another to his business. While the rest seized his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them, the king was furious. He sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out to the roads, and they gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. Who was invited? Luke tells us. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Why? See, the whole ministry of Jesus challenged the righteous. I had one of you say to me in our study of the Jews, I think, you know, it's one of the dangers I saw in myself for so many years when you have all of the privilege of being raised in the covenant. We're very much like them. You know, baptism and covenant and Christian school and Christian home and Christian this, and how easily you can have all this. Now hear me. And we've never put down the knee. Remember what the Canaanite woman said? Lord, help me. No, I need that. External privileges are wonderful, but they lead us somewhere, don't they? And the Gospels keep showing us this. The Gospels keep showing us this because this is the barrier we erect for ourselves so that we don't come to him. Lord, help me, was the Canaanite woman. I need your help. Well, what is my problem? I look together, don't I? Not really. None of us are really that much together, are we? Or are we just showing that? I'm kind of lame. Pun intended. You guys didn't get that. I'm lame. But I am lame. And I am blind. And I am crippled. It's a hard thing for me to see it. All of these physically incapable people are showcased to us for a reason. They're us. They're us. And what does Christ do here? He heals them. Okay. So that when they saw all these people made well, this is a big moment. Now notice, they glorified the God of Israel. Who? The Gentiles glorified the God of Israel. That's a beautiful passage. That is such a moment here in the Gospels. As one author said, there was a time earlier when all these Gentiles made this huge trek to come to Jesus in Galilee, but now he's come to them. What a blessing. Jesus draws near to the sinners. Jesus draws near to the needy. It's a beautiful thing. And that leads us to this sign that he does. Verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I mean, we're trying to figure out evening time how we're going to get dinner in before the service, right? 3 days. Listen to this. I'm unwilling to send them away hungry. lest they faint on the way.
What a verse.
I that's the kind of verse you just could read right over and not stop, right? I could preach a sermon on that today, alone. Listen to him. These people won't leave Christ. They won't leave his feet. They're needy and they're hungry. But on his part, how many times in Matthew has he welled up in his being with compassion? They're hungry. They need to eat. They don't have food. And I'm not willing for them not to eat, because they might faint. What a savior. You know? Wasn't there a promise about fainting in the Bible? They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The thing is, this miracle already happened, right? In chapter 14, he just fed the 5,000. And it's almost verbatim. We have the same thing repeated here. And I had to stop and say, why? Why is the Lord showing us this? Why did he do this? Some have said, well, it'd be no better if it were left out. And what a sad treatment of the passage. What's the shocking response of the passage? Lord, here's the shocking response. From who? Lord, where are we going to get bread to feed these people? Are you kidding? Like, you just saw the other miracle. How are we going to feed so great a crowd? You just saw it. You see, this captures something that is also very important about discipleship. It's the patience of our Lord toward his own disciples. We are so slow to understand. And he's patient with us. I mean, I would love all of you to be as far along as I am, right? I'm not any farther. You know how patient the Lord's been with me? And you are just as patient, so thank you. He's patient with you. There's a video of a man pulling a sheep out of a ditch. And he works hard. It's a viral video. He works hard to pull the sheep out of the ditch. And he gets it out of the ditch, and the sheep bolts down about 10 feet and jumps right back in the ditch. Well, that's ministry. That's ministry. This is ministry. Jesus is patient, not with the kind of rejection we see from the Pharisees. He's patient with us who are slow to understand his purposes and his mission. And I think about that with our children today in profession of faith, you know? Do we give the perception that they just need to wait till they've sowed the wild oats a little bit and really, you know, really get everything just right? Or should we not encourage them, come today. Come today. Our ministry's patient. You're growing. We understand that. You may not get everything. You give them something to eat. Deja vu. They had taken up 12 baskets before. Look down at verse 19. Do you not remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? How many baskets you gathered? You know how much left over there was? All of this extra bread they had forgotten. They still didn't understand this. I remember a pastor speaking on this point and saying, can you imagine the discussion among the apostles after the ascension? They're going to the ends of the earth and they're hungry, and one of them looks at the others and says, hey, where are we going to get bread to eat? And the other goes, are you kidding? And they all just bust up laughing. Here's the bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. That's what he said. There's the meaning.
there's more than enough bread for them. There's more than enough bread. He makes them sit on the ground, and he takes the 7 loaves and a few small fish, and same thing, he gives thanks, and he breaks it, and he, just like he does in the supper, that's why the supper is so important. That's why you have to eat Christ. You do, by faith. They took up 7 baskets full. Notice this, the crowds ate, and all were satisfied. The woman just wanted the broken pieces, the little crumbs that come from the master's table. There's enough. When everyone looked down at verse 16, 1, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came. Notice the spirit again, the legal spirit, the grumpy spirit, the spirit always putting him to the test. This is the spirit that the people that are always grumpy, always dissecting everyone else's life except their own. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to test him and asked him to show them a sign from heaven. And the whole scene becomes Jesus warning about their bread, right? Their doctrine. A sign from heaven. Did they not remember the sign from heaven in the wilderness? When God dropped manna down upon them and they ate to the full, Exodus 16. Do you see what's just happened? 2 feedings. He's just fed Israel in the wilderness. And now he's just fed the Canaanites in the wilderness. Put it together. You can use John. Jesus has taught us our whole life. Our greatest need is him. I am that our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he. Listen to the statement. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to who? The world, all peoples. Then they said to him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said, I am the bread. I'm the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Who's the bread for? The lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. See, this is not just merely a contrast of Jew and Gentile. This is a contrast played out of the self-righteous versus the needy. And Jesus is saving his people from their sins. I said before, we are so sinful. If you have any sense of your misery, your emptiness, your failure, the things that you've done, the things that you do, I think if you're honest before the Lord today, unless you've tried to cover all that up, this is your great burden. If you have any sense of it, you know what you are. You wonder because of sins and what you're prone to do, you wonder whether you really stand righteous before God. So we fill our life with amusements to try to get away from this question. We fill our lives with drinking and all kinds of things to get away from this question. I want you to hear one verse with me today. It's a simple verse. It's a profound verse. It's the simple part of the sermon. I want you to hear one sermon, and I want you to memorize this sermon. I have compassion on them, for they have nothing to eat. And I'm unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. That's my sermon. Did you get it? That's my sermon. That's like as tightly said as I can give it. What news? That's the revelation of Christ's mercy to you, that he's willing to give himself for you, that it's one of the best verses to memorize in your times of doubt and struggle. If you have any awareness of your failure to meet God's standard, see and hear him. I'm not willing to send my people away hungry, He's not talking just about physical food, as much as he cares about that. I have compassion on you. Now our faith will be tested. He's going to draw out what kind of faith is there. I say that to the profession of faith. Your faith will be tested. That's what he does in our lives. And he's so faithful in doing it. He's going to draw out what kind of faith is there. But I ask the question, like these crowds, are we the people clinging to him? He doesn't have to go to the bus stop today, does he? Right? He doesn't have to head down there. He came by the Escondido URC. And guess what? There's enough of the sinners here, aren't there, to deal with. It's a hospital. That's what this is. Don't let the coat and tie fool you. It's a hospital for the broken, for the sick. And if you will come to him by faith, he will heal that need for you. Just like the Canaanite. Here's your promise. Eat. Be satisfied. Feed on Christ. Believe in him. Next week we come to the supper. Did I give you a good enough preparatory? It's the best preparatory I could give, I think. Come. Discern your sins and eat. He will save you from them. What a compassionate Savior he is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a rich gift to us. Thank you for your mercies to us. Thank you for helping us Gentiles and making us the true Israel. Oh Lord, may we hear these words. I have compassion on them. They're hungry. Feed us, oh Lord. Thank you for the feeding of your word and sacrament. Bless your people with confidence and faith. Thank you for the professions today. Bless this brother and sister in their profession, Adam and Kate, that as they are tested, they would have the same faith. Uphold them the whole way through as with all our children. And may we be a people of praise. For we are a people who've come needy and broken into the compassionate, merciful hands of our Savior. And what a place to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for our ongoing studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.